This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
Senate candidate Jim Layman's going to join us. A lot of ground to cover with him, plus a market update from Glenn Least. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today, Thursday, May 5th, show number 1371 for the podcast listeners. A busy program lined up for you. We will hear from Senate candidate for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate, Jim Layman. He has been polling. A poll came out earlier this week which shows him as the new front runner in this pretty heated race between, at least five people vying to be the Republican nominee to go up against Democrat Senator Mark Kelly. We'll talk with Jim about the SCOTUS decision, the leak that happened, Roe v. Wade, what it means to get wrestle control out of the Democrats of the U.S. Senate. Also, we'll talk with Jim about the economy, the inflation we're seeing, and look at the markets and look at the craziness that's going on. Look at the inflation. I got info on productivity numbers in America falling to the lowest level since 1947. Hit on that with Jim. Also with Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management here in just a second will join us, give us a market update. I got a notice. Actually, my wife got a notice. She's a registered independent in Coconino County, and she got her 90-day notice, active early voting list, that she has to select a ballot for the primary election. And I brought this up earlier in the week. If you are an independent, which about a third of the state is registered as independent, non-party affiliated, you will not get a primary ballot for a lot of these races coming up. For like the race for U.S. Senate here, on the Republican side, you got Jim Layman, you've got Attorney General Mark Brnovich, you've got Justin Olson, you've got Blake Masters, you've got others, and I'm forgetting names because I'm doing it off the top of my head, so I apologize. But there's at least, five, six people running for that position alone. As an independent, you will not get to vote in that election. You have to request a Republican primary ballot, or as an independent, you can request a Democrat primary ballot as well for the Senate race. So you have no choice. It's Senator Mark Kelly's the only one on there. But for all the races, if you're a registered independent and you want to vote in the upcoming primary, the August 2nd primary, you have to call the county. So Coconino County, Yavapai County, wherever you're listening, wherever you're registered to vote, call the county and request, do a ballot request. You can also go to the county's website and request the ballot of your choice, the Republican or the Democrat ballot if you're an independent voter. You need to do this real soon. Remember, the election is August 2nd, and those ballots mail out. So it's not that far off. July 6th is when the ballots are being mailed out, so this election starts pretty soon. So don't forget to do that. If you got any comments, I'd love to hear from you. The Just Wireless listener line is open. You can chime in anytime. Leave a comment, 877-9713-971. You can also send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Before we get to Glenn Least here in just a second, I want to mention our great sponsor. If you're getting kind of hungry out there, get the best pizza in Flagstaff, best pizza in Northern Arizona. And that's at Namarco's Pizza with three locations in the Flagstaff area. You've got West Side over there on Milton Avenue. You've got downtown, and you've got over towards the mall where the old Village Inn used to be right there. Namarco's Pizza with three locations dine in where you can get some great craft beers. They got great wings. Go have a good time at one of their locations or order the pizza, pick it up curbside delivery or curbside pickup or delivery to your home. 928-779-0024. 928-779-0024. You can also order online very easily at namarcospizza.com. That's NIMARCOS, namarcospizza.com. And don't forget about their lunch specials, by the way, Monday through Friday, and that's from 11 to 2. They have great slice options at all their locations at Namarco's Pizza. All right, let's get a market update here and get into inflation and everything. Glenn Least is with WT Wealth Management, and Glenn, it's been crazy. I mean, it's been up and down. I guess in short, up, down, sideways, this market's going all over the dang place. In short, though, it's chaotic. How you doing, Glenn?
You know, I'm wondering if we should start selling motion sickness medication because it's like we're on this crazy roller coaster. We're up one day, down the next, up again. And you know, sometimes it's even intraday. You know, a client will be calling, "Hey, how's the market doing?" And by my, like, "Oh, it's down 1.5%. By the time they get to the office, it's positive 0.5%. So we've definitely been on a roller coaster this last month or so. And
Glenn, a lot of these people in government are not helping, to be honest with you. It's just they're creating an environment, I think, of just instability. The Federal Reserve was transitory. Remember that? Now they're combating inflation. Now they're saying things like, "Oh, we maybe won't do that 0.75 point hike next time because we think we can combat inflation without causing a recession." Then they did a 0.5 point just the other day. They did a 0.25 point or just yesterday they did a 0.5 point. They did a 0.25 point, a month ago on the Fed funds rate. I went over this yesterday. Every time they raise this, maybe it's not a direct correlation right away to interest rate increase when it comes to mortgage rates, when it comes to credit cards and all that. But the bonds have gone up. 10-year treasury bonds gone up like 2 points in the past year. Mm-hmm. It means, bottom line, it means Americans are paying a lot more money for all the debt and the government's paying a lot more money. We're all paying more as these rates go up.
100%. Yeah. So as interest rates go up, interest on your car, your credit card, your mortgage, everything just goes up. And you'd hope that as interest rates go up, you're getting paid more for the money in the bank or CDs or money markets. And it usually never keeps pace as well as it should. So, yeah, we're being charged a lot more for interest. And but the yields we make on our money is not, rising accordingly. So, yeah, and even with mortgages, I was talking to one of my friends who's a mortgage, or he's in the real estate industry, and he was saying that on a typical mortgage, you know, another 1% increase in interest rate on, say, a $300,000 loan could be a couple $100 a month in interest alone. I mean, probably $250-$300 a month, just 1%. We've gone, since the lows of the pandemic, I think 2.5-3%, you know, for mortgage rates. So, I mean, I think what it'll end up doing is, and that's only a $300,000 house. I mean, if you buy,
where can you find me a $300,000 house? Right? Yeah.
So if you're
or almost anywhere in northern Arizona now, even Camp Verde's gone up a lot. Cottonwood's gone up tremendously. You can't find that. I think the median home price is like in Flagstaff is close to $700,000 or over $700,000.
Right, yeah.
I talked to I sent Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans a text yesterday to try to get some examples of what the market's doing, and you know, you might still be able to get that 6%. Let me see if I can find that text. 6%, 5.5%.
Wow.
Interest rate, which historically that's still pretty low.
Yeah.
But if you're talking, she gave me an example, and this is just an example. Don't take this to the bank, literally. You know, $776,000 home. So you got to get a $620,000 loan to get that. I mean, just to think of that just a couple of years ago, I've got a $620,000 loan, you know, and you're putting down 20%. You got good credit. You know, maybe you're getting 5.5%. Maybe you're getting 6%. The estimated payment on that now, on that home, which most people think, oh, $776,000 home. Those are a lot of average homes in Flagstaff now. $3,500 a month, principal and interest.
That's a big payment.
So if you go by the rule that you're
less than half of your
income, or even a third, it used to be a third. Okay, even if it's half, you got to be into six figures almost salary wise now.
It is really kind of sad. I mean, what does that do to our
what's it do to our kids,
community?
Glenn?
Yeah,
what does it do to our kids?
Start saving and investing now, right? I mean, we definitely have our issues, and you know, housing costs is definitely one of them. In Flagstaff, it is very expensive to live here, and I moved here from California, and it was like in 2004, and I was like, wow, it's so much cheaper here. And then, you know, when I went back to visit some friends in Southern California, you know, I was like, wow, your guys' houses are, you know, cheap accordingly. I could buy that house and that house, you know, because
it flipped.
It flipped vice versa. So, it's very expensive in Flagstaff, and the interest rates going up is not going to help us. You know, the everyday, you know, Flagstaff individual buy a house is going to make it more challenging.
I wonder if the rates, I contend that they have to raise the rates a lot more to fight inflation. But they can't do it. And I came up with these numbers, and you can look them up, somewhere between $75 and $80 billion every quarter point interest rate increase on the national debt. That's what it's costing, approximately, in additional interest payments.
Yep.
So you start thinking about that on a $30 trillion debt, or on people that have $600,000 mortgages, or people that have $10,000 credit card debt or $30,000 student loan debt, whatever it is, especially if you have variable rate interest rates or loans. it almost becomes insurmountable to fix this. I don't.
Yeah.
Do you think about this? How do you fix this mess we're in,
Glenn? I think when I got into the industry, it was like 2013, 2014. I remember them going from like maybe 13 trillion to 14 trillion. And for me,
it's like, whoa.
You know, I had someone say, this is just insane. You know, there's got to be some sort of like end to this because, you know, we can never afford to, you know, pay this back. And now, not even 10 years later, we're more than double that. So, you know, makes you, you know, wonder in 10 more years, are we going to be at 60 trillion? You know, at what point do we say is enough, and we can't support this ongoing spending and printing.
What is that breaking point? That's because you make a good point. Well, yeah. We went to 15, and then back then you thought, what are we going to be at 30? Okay, another doubling. What are we going to be at 60?
Yeah.
And then what are we going to be at $120 trillion in debt? Because the federal budget is like six, at the top of my head, $5-6 trillion now, when they're taking in like $3.75 or $4 trillion. So that's adding $2 trillion a year just to that level.
So either they need to spend less
or
tax more
or
a combination of both. Yeah, you know, when is the breaking point? I mean, there's some nations out there that have gotten themselves so underwater in debt that they can't even make their minimum interest payments. And that really is a tipping point. Hopefully we never get there because that is kind of, you know,
it's number four alarming expense right now. If you go to debtclock.org. behind Medicare, Social Security, and defense spending, the interest on the national debt is over, top of my head again, 400 and something billion, and maybe going up tens of billions of dollars every time these rates go up. So
imagine if we didn't have any national debt.
Yeah. Like what could we do with $400 billion?
Right? A whole lot. Yeah. I could do a lot with $400 billion. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Don't go anywhere. I've got more with Glenn Least coming up. And if you've got any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. It is Thursday, so I want to remind you of this before we go to break here. That means that it is Ladies' Day going on still right now. You can still go do this out at Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. All you ladies out there that want to get firearms training, want to, you know, maybe decide on a gun and you want to try it before you buy it. For $10 out at Timberline Firearms and Training, you get range time and you get one gun rental with that, one free gun rental. It's $10. It's nothing with all the inflation going on, right? So go out to Timberline Firearms and Training and also check out their Liberty Safes. Check out all their accessories and ask Rob and Elise and their team out at Timberline Firearms and Training about training opportunities. They are the best, and they will help you out everywhere from beginning all the way up to expert level. Give them a call right now or go out there. Give them a call at 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. Back in a minute. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. Terms and conditions may apply. BK number 0902429, an equal housing opportunity. With inflation running at its fastest pace in nearly 40 years, most Fed officials now see at least 3 rate hikes this year. Jeff Horvitz here, and now is the time to make headway on paying off your high-rate credit cards and consolidate other revolving debt by refinancing your mortgage. Whether you have perfect credit or not-so-perfect credit, you need to call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. Kim knows how to find the program that works specifically for you, and since Nova is both a bank and a broker, she has the flexibility to shop for the best rates and terms. Call Kim for a purchase or refinance before the Fed starts raising rates at 928-310-6458. Kim will even waive the lender fees on all VA loans. Call 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, the girl who gets it done, 928-310-6458. We are talking with Glenn Least of W2 Wealth Management. Stick around. We also have Senate candidate Jim Layman coming up and a lot of ground to cover with him. Also, I'll keep an eye on emails. We'll see if we can get to those here towards the end of the show. Always looking for your email comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You can send those in anytime. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com or leave a comment on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-9713-971. Here's some headlines. These are all from CNBC. Rising interest rates mean higher loan costs when you go to buy a car. Let me put this on.
Cars are already high in cost right now anyways.
Well, yeah. So monthly payments already average $650 a month for a car. I remember when, you know, we got a, this was 20 years ago and the payment was four something, I think. And that was a lot.
Yeah.
We're like, I can't believe we're doing this. And now it's 650, which means a lot of people, you see some of these cars out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are spending $800, $900, $1,000 a month on some of these.
Yeah, especially really if you're, it's cars. A newer, you know, lifted truck that's more like designed for, you know, hauling stuff or, you know, work. You
and
know.
Then you're filling up, Mark Howitt was talking about, he's got a diesel. And I have listeners who chime in, just people who have diesels for their work or even they're just driving around, $5.50 a gallon. And then now extrapolate that, Glenn, into, everything we get shipped for food and supplies and goods and services, et cetera, is diesel.
Yeah.
I think the, let me get your take on this. I think the inflation shock is going to be bigger because all of those fuel costs for shipping and everything we do in this society still hasn't even fully hit and been realized.
Yeah, I agree.
If you got a crystal ball.
I've never understood why people take such large payments on their vehicles because, you know, it is a depreciating asset. I mean, yes, we need a vehicle to get around and we want to have a safe vehicle, but, you know, there's got to be a point where you say, you know, I don't need that nice of a vehicle because, yeah, your costs are going to keep going up. And I've got one funny story. Years ago, don't look down on me, I did one summer working for a car dealership and it was like the worst summer of my life. I hated selling cars. I did not like it. But we had this person come in, I was overhearing the deal and they were, you know, I think it was maybe 15 years ago, they were trying to buy a truck that was like $75,000 and the person was on Social Security and they made $910 a month. And I'm like, no way. They had no money down. It was just them, no co-signers. And I'm like, no way this deal is going to happen. This is just dead in the water. Well, they come out and the guy's like, well, good news. We got you approved. We're just going to have to do a little bit of budgeting for you. And the payment was $900 a month. God. And I'm like, what are you going to, how are you going to budget the other $10 a month? I mean, there's no other person in this scenario that's going to help this individual. And so I'm like, no way they take the loan. And they took the loan. And it was mind-boggling because I'm like, okay, $10 a month, you're not going to be able to buy much gas. I think gas at the time was like $4 a month. So, you know, we talk about like, I don't get it, you know, why people do that to themselves because it's, you know, puts them in a really tough situation. But I see, you know, it's happening.
Whole countries like that, though. Yeah. And it's just, okay, here's another one. Yeah. Despite the Fed's big rate boost, most banks will still pay paltry interest rates. So let me translate that to you. So the banks are loaning out money on your credit card at 18, 19, 20, 24. 30, yeah, whatever.
What are we doing talking on the show? We should be in the banking industry.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So they're lending, and then the mortgage rates are now 5.5, 6, whatever percent. But and the Fed raises the interest rates. Bonds are up 2 points, but you put your money in the bank, you don't get anything more. Well, how does that work?
Yeah, and even before they raise interest rates, just recently, you know the math for keeping money in the bank was pretty bad in your favor. I mean, inflation's at 8% and you might make 0.5%. I mean, I met with one group recently and they had a ton of money. They're in a charter school and they were just talking to me. They're like, we have a ton of money sitting in the bank. And we finally occurred to us that, you know, the bank is paying us 0.5%. And that was because we had a large amount there. So we got to do something with it because sitting in the bank is, we call, you know, going broke safely and going broke quickly too. So, you know, even if interest rates go up to say 1% on money in the bank, you know, and inflation is still at 8%, which I actually think it's probably a little bit higher than that. Because when we look at inflation numbers, CPI, they strip out food and energy, which we've talked about this before. It makes no sense. I mean, my biggest expense is food, and next to that is probably going to be, you know, gas is up there. So,
and then they adjusted they because the TV or the computer, you know, they'll hedonically adjust that car and things like that. So down, they'll affect it in a negative way. So, but I can't eat my TV.
I mean,
or my computer. I guess you could try. But no, they'll take out the things that are important, like, house prices are not in the CPI because it's considered capital and, but then they do owner's equivalent rent. So they'll do a survey and say, Glenn, how much would you rent your house for? Oh, I don't know. Because you don't know. Most homeowners don't know what the rental market is. Mm-hmm. So it's all much lower than it actually is. I think the inflation, I've talked about this, I think it's more like 16, 17% right now.
And if you're renting, you're in a tough spot. Okay.
You're in a tough spot.
Easy math. Like I own my home and I think my mortgage is $1,500 a month, but that same home would probably rent for $2,500. So, you know, same property, but the difference between owning and renting it is at least $1,000 a month in that same scenario. So, I mean, that's just more money going out of your pocket, you know, more expenses. And, you know, there's really not a lot of, you know, we're not making any money on the money in the bank, you know, for sure. So, I mean, we definitely have a tough environment ahead of us.
No, and here's another reason why. And this is why I think inflation is going to crank even more. Worker output fell 7.5% in the first quarter of this year, the biggest decline since 1947. Worker productivity fell. I already said that. At the same time, labor costs as measured against productivity increased 11.6%, bringing the increase over the past four quarters to 7.2%, the fastest rise in about 40 years. So let me translate that. You've got productivity is going down, costs are going up.
So in layman's terms, you're paying more for less production.
For less productivity.
Your worker is, you know, spending more time on the phone and doing less productive activities. I was thinking the same thing, Glenn. To pay them more money for it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. So we had tremendous productivity gains in the early 2000s because of technology so much stuff. But I knew, and I was warning about this for a long time, that I think the productivity is going down because the workers are getting distracted. I realized this a few years back, and I haven't flown in a couple of years, but we were coming back from overseas travel. I think we were coming back actually from a trip I did to Hong Kong and Vietnam, and pretty dang productive people over there, I might add. And then I came back, we were in an airport, maybe it was in LA, and I could not get I just wanted some food, anything, right? And of course there was a McDonald's there. I could not get the attention of the person to take my order because they were diddling on the phone. So I'm sitting there thinking, this is not a very productive worker. They can't even keep their, you know, focus on getting my fries out of the hopper.
We should do an educational class on like how to be a great worker. You're like, okay, you show up on time, you work hard, you're not distracted, you know, you treat your customers, your bosses with respect, and learn how to talk to people, and you'll see your wages increase. And I think a lot of, even just talking with my kids, you know, I'm trying to instill in them the power and the importance of, you know, being good at what you do, being responsible, being able to talk to people, all the soft skills. But yeah, I mean, I see it all the time where, you know, you just can't get the same service that you used to.
No.
And it's across the board everywhere. And I think there's definitely a decline in productivity, you know, whether that's because of we got your smartphones or everyone's glued to social media or, you know, they're listening to, you know, or watching Netflix on the job. Who knows? I mean, but yeah, I see people distracted all the time.
Yeah. There was a guy in, I think it was Parliament over in Britain. He's watching porn on his phone.
Wow.
You know, it's during the thing. And it's like, really?
Should have been just, I mean, maybe he should have been just playing Tetris. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad too. But no, this is
definitely distracted.
This is a worldwide thing. And I think productivity is going to continue to drop. And that means you're going to see higher costs for things because it's harder to squeeze out of a worker to get something actually done, like deliver my fries 5 years ago. This was, you know, it's just gotten worse.
Are hard to find.
As a company, would there be a social outcry as you're coming in, you have a like a pillowcase and you say, okay, insert your phone in there? I mean, can you say that as an employer and say, you know what, we don't do self, or is someone going to say, oh, but then you didn't get that emergency call or something?
Yeah, I mean, there's always that.
Is there some kind of liability here I'm unaware of?
And I remember years ago when I worked in the ER in the hospital, and they had, you know, some rules about that, about not having your phone, you know, out and on it. But then, if your coworker is trying to text you or say, hey, we need some help, you know, there's also that method of communication. So, you know, it goes both ways. So I think with that.
Walkie talkies, go back to that.
Yeah. I mean, or say, you know, every time I go to Best Buy, you know, I'll be like, hey, I've got this question. The guy pulls out his personal phone and looks it up on the website. So he's obviously using it as a tool. And that's hard. I mean, do you ban all phones? I mean, maybe you see productivity, you know, go up, but then it also maybe goes down because they're not able to find as much information. I don't know. I mean,
if I was a big company or even a smaller mid-sized company, I would issue my own like little walkie-talkie thing or a little beeper service or some kind of paging, some kind of device that this is a device you use at work, your personal. But then they'll find ways around that and they'll be using.
You know what I do is I give productivity bonuses for the people that work with me. So as they're doing a good job and they're being productive, they get, you know, random cash bonuses, you know, unexpectedly. So they're motivated to work hard, be productive, because I don't like to micromanage. Like, I've got enough things going on. I don't want to sit there and look over someone's shoulder and be like, are you on Facebook? Because maybe they're managing my Facebook posts, and that's
true.
Yeah, so
you bring a good point. Look, if somebody is the super productive, and back to the McDonald's example, they're delivering the fries while they're, you know, doing Instagram or whatever. I could actually care less, but we're not seeing that pan out. People, they've done studies on multitasking and stuff like that, and saying it's just you're not more efficient unless you're just some kind of rare rare creature.
Yeah, no,
you're less efficient.
Yeah, and that is something I've had to work through within my own practice because, you know, I'm available all the time. But if I'm working on a specific task of doing an investment, you know, or getting someone set up in their investment account, a lot of times I have to put my phone or turn on airplane mode so that way I can focus on the task. Yeah. Because, yeah, it's very easy to get distracted because I've got so many different methods of communication. Text message, IMs, emails, phone calls, people walking in. You know, there's a lot of different ways to be distracted. So I think we're in this new territory where we have to fight for our focus.
I was texting Glenn early in the morning. I'm like, what's going on with the market? It's been crazy. It's like 4 a.m.
What'd you do, man? Like, go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep.
It'll be fine. Don't look at the markets.
Oh, my gosh. Can you stick around? I got some more stuff. I want to hit on the midterm elections and the Musk Twitter issue some more because this keeps going on and on. And folks, if you got a comment, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And also the Just Wireless listener line. You can leave your comments today, 877-971-3971. I do have, by the way, remember we've got Jim Lehman coming up. He is one of the candidates running for Senate here in Arizona for U.S. Senate for the Republican nomination. He's also now the, I guess, perceived front runner. That poll came out earlier in the week. So we'll talk with Jim Lehman. Got a lot of ground to cover with him. Stick around. Back in just a minute. The median sales price in Flagstaff was way up again last year, almost 20%. However, there's no guarantee that the market will continue at this rapid pace. Jeff Horvitz here, and most Fed officials now predict 3 interest rate hikes in 2022. Also, the board at the Continental Country Club recently approved an amendment against short-term rentals like Airbnb and VRBOs. If you've been waiting until after the holidays to list your home, you need to call Kelly Broaddus for a free market analysis, especially in the Continental Country Club area, but also anywhere in northern Arizona. Call Kelly at 928-606-6749 or get an instant home valuation from her website at northernarizonafinehomes.com. After all, Kelly is in the top 2% of realtors in the nation, and she can advise you on how this may affect your property going forward. Don't wait for all these VRBOs to hit the market, especially in the Continental Country Club area. Call the Kelly Broaddus Group at 606-6749. All right, folks, welcome back. We're here with Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management. Got a couple other things I want to cover. And we do have a Senate candidate for the GOP nomination for the U.S. Senate here in Arizona. Well, the U.S. Senate, running for Senate here in Arizona. Can I get that right, Glenn? Jeez. Jim Lehman coming up in the second hour of the show. So stick around for that. Sponsors Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. And, you know, Gutter Helmet is the number one gutter protection company in the world. But Gutter Helmet's not just a screen, it's a multi-patented reverse curve that deflects the pine needles, which is, I guess, more important than ever before, as you heard the story from Rob Wilson, where his gutters caught on fire during the tunnel fire here a couple weeks ago. So it's, you know, you got to keep these things clean. And then in the winter, if you don't keep them clean, you get the ice damming. Gutter Helmet's got 40 years of experience. Gutter Helmet's got a lifetime warranty. Call or text Carl right now and he'll get you set up. He'll give you a free estimate and also talk to you about all the advantages. 928-318-6555. 928-318-6555. And if you mention a Jeff Horvitz show, you can save up to 30%. Call or text right now, Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. Glenn, I think the politicians are just about clueless. Most of them. I can't say all of them, but a lot of there's a whole bunch of them that I think do have a clue as to the mess this country is in when it comes to the debt and the budget and all that. I think they know, and I think many of them, if you talk to them privately, as I have, will acknowledge that some of these problems have gone over the edge as far as fixable in any current form or fashion, and especially when it comes to debt. I don't know how you pay off a $30.5 trillion debt.
right?
Unless you inflate it out. I mean, are they just trying to?
I mean, they can print all the money tomorrow. That's but it would cause massive inflation.
Well, yeah, but then they're looking at it. Think about it this way: if you have a investment property, as I do, and maybe you have a certain amount of debt on it, and all of a sudden you had the ability to print a bunch of money, and so that property was, let's say, worth $1 million. Yeah, okay. So property's worth $1 million, and you have $1 million of debt. Just say you got it with 100% financing. Okay, you might be in trouble, but if you're able to be your own printing press, and all of a sudden the property's worth $4 million, now I have $1 million in debt, and the rent increases have gone up a bunch because of inflation. On a bigger scale, because I can't print my own money, but the feds can. That I think that's what they're going to do. They're monetizing this, and they're going to inflate it out. But the average person who puts their money in the, we're just talking about, hey, you put your money in the bank, you're not getting any more interest rates.
Yeah.
So the average person who can't figure out how to hedge, and they don't have a printing press, they can't figure out how to combat inflation. I think the middle class is going to get smaller and smaller in this country, and there's so much pain to come. And I don't be all negative, you know.
That's why they need to call me, right?
Yeah, I need to call
Glenn. How to beat inflation.
Yeah, how do you?
I should be the most busy guy ever you know, people running into that scenario, right? And it is, I agree with you. I mean, it's definitely going to put a pinch on the middle class. And I think there's been a lot of lack of education as far as when it comes to money and finances.
No education.
No education, yeah. I mean, kids are graduating high school, and what they have learned over that time, you know, I mean, even when I graduated high school, it was kind of interesting the stuff that they were teaching me. This is back in 2004. I was like, well, yeah, I know there's pre-calculus and calculus and advanced geometry, but I don't even know how to cook or, you know, take care of myself or balance a checkbook or even just basic concepts of money. So, yeah, I think education is more important now than ever. And, you know, I'm always the glasses half full kind of guy, but I do see where you're coming from. There's definitely some looming issues on the horizon. So what can we do now to take action? Because there's some things we just can't change, right? You know, unless you and I want to run for office again, or for the first time for me, or for you.
Yeah.
But then there's also that.
And I appreciate people that do that, that want to change things. Don't get me
that's
wrong.
A big price to pay. You know, that's a big sacrifice for people to, you know, quit a productive career and go into politics, because it's, it's tough.
And Glenn, look, we have candidates continually on who are running for the federal office. I mean, we have Jim Lehman coming up, who's running for the U.S. Senate. And I think a lot of these people truly want to get in there and make the change. And, some people are just working up the ladder continuously, and this becomes a career, and I think that's too bad. But you get a lot of people, I want to get in there and I want to make a change. I know them personally, and I think truly in their heart they do. But then they get into the DC machine, and we're talking national politics here, and I don't think it's fixable from that political level, because I don't know what happens when they get there, Glenn.
Yeah.
But they can't. They're trying to change that system, and I don't think there's any fixing that system.
Yeah, there's this
under the current form.
There's this episode of The Simpsons where one of the characters, Krusty the Clown, runs for Congress, right? And he wins, right? Yeah. It's a hilarious episode, but he wants to propose this bill to stop the airplanes from flying over the Simpsons' house. And as soon as he starts talking, they're like, "What are you doing? You're a freshman. You don't even get to talk until you're in your second or third term. You know, in the meantime, you need to scrub the graffiti off of the bathroom stalls." And it's like there's some sort of graffiti in the wall that Cressy has to scrub off. But it was just funny in that episode, they came in thinking they're going to be able to enact this change, and it was like this whole big machine where there was just not a lot of change to happen. And that is very sad, because you'd hope that if you put in that much effort to represent your districts and your people, that you can enact change. But it's hard to go against that big of a machine, I don't have a good answer
well,
for that.
I actually have an answer. I suggest to people local. You as a mayor, as a council member, as a school board member, as a sheriff, as things like that, as a county board of supervisor, even to a degree as a state representative, the legislature, especially in a state like Arizona, where there's just not a lot of them. You've got 30 senators in the Arizona Senate. You've got 60 House members in the House of Representatives. That's not a lot of people. So. Mm-hmm. They still have a tremendous influence on Arizona politics, on local politics. Yeah. Your school
they're more
board
accessible too.
They're more accessible. Yeah, you can get them. You're going to see them, especially your council members, your mayors, your school board members. And we've learned what the power of the mayor is during COVID and all that too. Yeah, that we never understood. Yeah. But I think it's more important for people to have those positions, because You can put up a big block against some of the things the feds are doing. And I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of mayors being arrested for saying, I'm not doing what the feds say. Yeah, or a lot of governors or legislators.
A lot of cities and states have their own governing power. I mean, there's some things you can't go against local on the federal level, but they give you know, discretion at the local level for some, for a lot of issues. So I do agree, at the local level, it's states' rights issues.
Yeah. I mean, states are the ones that, if it's not enumerated in the Constitution, the Fed shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, and, we just found this out with the newest Roe v. Wade, that they're putting the discretion back on the states to say, we're not making the decision at the federal level. We're going to let states by states make the decision of whether, whatever route they want to go on this.
Yeah. And you'll see different states doing different things as this goes through. Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's an example of states' rights and the power of the state that the founding fathers intended, which was I don't like what's going on in California, Glenn, as you've talked about. So
my home state. I know. Yeah,
So I'm moving to Arizona or moving to Texas. Although I just read an article in Texas, the locals are starting to, people have been there for a long time. The population's grown so much that they're like, is this population growth really worth it? We're seeing that here in Arizona.
Yeah.
We're seeing that what is the trade-off here? Okay, what are we at? 7.5 million, 8 million people, something like that. When is it like, okay, we're good. We've grown enough. Do we need?
I don't know. We need to make sure we have enough opportunities to have them be productive members. And I think if you leave one state because you don't like the direction that state's going, the new state you go to, if it's on the opposite side of the aisle, you have to be okay with giving a little. Because I came from California. Mm-hmm. When I first came to Arizona, I had to basically embrace the culture to say, hey, if things didn't work out in California, I don't want to bring those same broken ideas to Arizona. Mm-hmm. I need to really take some time and just be a part of the culture. And then before I start, you know, have any opinions on anything, because clearly, you know, all these policies didn't work. Even in like, you know, I still have family that lives in Los Angeles, and I had a friend that left the LA area, and he says LA is not fit for human inhabitation. I kind of laughed, and I say, really? Like, that sounds like some sort of sci-fi, like, you know, apocalypse scenario. And he says, well, you know, if you've been there recently, you realize it's not a great place, and there's just, you know, a lot of cons and a lot of pros, you know, as far as, you know, reasons to live in that area.
The beach is only so cool and can compensate the ocean and those, all that for all the homelessness, the violence.
I love the beach, but, you know, because of the, you know, the policies in that area with the homelessness, there's a lot of narcotic and drug use, and that has actually flowed out into the beach where you could be playing on the beach and step somewhere and get pricked by a needle.
Your kids are going to come back with a syringe.
You. So even if you avoid the area where those problems are an issue, it bleeds into other areas. So, you know, policies have an effect, and, you know, we need to just always take that in consideration. Like, you know, Flagstaff has, you know, done that a lot where they've enacted policies, and sometimes the people that voted for them then graduate, you know,
and they're
college,
gone.
And they're gone, and they don't have to stick around to see the effects of that policy. You know, so yeah, it's interesting.
Should there be I'll get a happy gram for this one.
I already know what
you're
going to
say. Vesting period went before you can really, weigh in on the politics.
Yeah, I've been here 20 years and I can't vote on city measures because I don't live in the
city. You brought this up off air. It's like you got, so in the Flagstaff area, you've got Kachina, you've got Dony Park area, Timberline.
Not now, Baird.
Yeah, you've got these areas, Belmont. You've got these areas that are exactly just outside the city limits where I'm going to get, to the top of my head, there's probably 20, 25,000 people that live in this area in a city that's 70,000, which outside the city, it's more conservative leaning, let's go with that, than inside the city, but they can't vote, although their address says Flagstaff.
Yeah, my address doesn't
but
say
but they're not incorporated
Village.
In it. Yeah.
It says Flagstaff, but yet I'm unable to vote. And the reasons to go outside the city are sometimes it's more affordable. It's still close enough where you can drive into town, but your property values aren't as insane, so you're able to buy sometimes more of a house or more land for if you've got a family and you want animals like us. We're up to 20 chickens now.
Oh
it's
God.
Just it's Chickenzilla.
It's a lot of
house.
Eggs, yeah.
Yeah, we had to build a whole brand new Taj Mahal for the chickens, and every night I'm sitting there like, putting the chickens in, tucking them to bed, and you know,
it's a
singing
whole
them to
thing.
Sleep. Yeah, it's a whole thing. Yeah, but we need property for that. I mean, you can't do that inside the city.
No,
you
could. I hear them in the city.
To, yeah.
No, they've actually when I was on there, we actually opened it up for backyard farming and stuff. But it is much more restrictive, and you really do need some land for especially 20 chickens. Or goats.
That's next is the goat. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we, if anyone has a lead on goats,
some kids.
If anyone has a lead on goats, Olivia wants to get some goats and it sounds like Glenn does as well. Email us talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Looking for some good, I'm looking for weed eaters. not milking goats because I can't see myself going out there every day
to milk
a goat. No, Olivia wants to do that. I said, but
your kids will be doing it. So that way they've got some perspective.
They'll be doing it, right? Just like they feed the chickens and clean the coop and, you'll be, you know, we'll be doing it. All right, Glenn. I appreciate it. We'll save Elon Musk till next time.
All right.
Cause we're tight on time because maybe by then he'll actually own Twitter. He doesn't own it yet.
I think it's still going, the financing is still,
and he's working on all that, so we'll save that. And don't forget, folks, Glenn is, we've got Intelligent Investing Saturday at noon.
Uh-huh. And then also on our website, too.
On WTWealthManagement.com.
Soon to be on Spotify and Apple iTunes, too.
Oh, good, good. You're getting all that going. That's good. So WTWealthManagement.com, you can get all those Intelligent Investing episodes. And this Saturday at noon is part three of our four-part series on Investing 101. So you can geek out with us on terminology and all that. All right, Glenn, good stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
And if you got a comment, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We'll try to get to those in a little bit. We've got Jim Lehman coming up, who's running for the U.S. Senate. And I'll ask him what Glenn and I were just talking about. What can you really do as one of 100 if you get in there, and is it worth it? I will write that down as a question. Final sponsor of the hour, and we're just talking about home loans, Nova Home Loans, and I'm actually working on a refinance right now with Kim Dawson over at Nova Home Loans, and it's
Kim's great.
Kim is great. I wish I'd taken her advice a year ago. She said you should do this refinance now, and I put it off. And it's on an investment property, and I went from, you know, I probably could have gotten 4%, 4.5%.
Yeah, you're probably
a 6. It's like 6. And it's, actually, she was really happy because she's like, I found 5.99, you know, and it's like that psychological push of,
yeah, it's still 6.
You know, and it's like, it's still 6, but okay, we'll go with that. But no, my point being is it's still good now because I think interest rates are going to go up a lot more. Yeah. That's why I'm doing it. So
yeah. If you're going to refinance, now's the time.
Yeah. I mean, another year from now, you'd probably be like, I should have done a year ago, but then you'll probably be like, in a year from now, it'll be even worse. So, there's still time. Call Kim Dawson. She'll help you out. And by the way, she'll even waive lender fees on all VA loans.
Nice.
Here's the number, 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson and Nova Home Loans, the girl who gets it done, at 928-310-6458. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. Terms and conditions may apply. BK number 0902429, an equal housing opportunity. All right. We will talk with Jim Lehman, ask him what he thinks he can actually do if he gets to Washington, D.C. as one of 100. We'll get into the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, and this Roe v. Wade, and the high probability that they're going to reverse this, get his thoughts on that, plus border issues and much more. And if you got a comment, send it in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hang tight, back in just a few minutes. Jeff Horvitz here, and I've got some office space available for you at flagstafforlease.com. Office suites start at $499. I also have a larger six-room suite available for about $1,600 and other configurations up to 6,000 square feet and all points in between. Give me a call at 928-526-7909. That's 928-526-7909, or go to flagstaff4lease.com. That's flagstafforlease.com.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, let's get caught up with candidate for U.S. Senate, Jim Lehman. We're going to talk border, we'll talk SCOTUS, and much more. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back to another hour of the show. Jeff Horvitz here. I'd love to hear from you. If you've got comments, I'll try to get them in here on the next segment for today. A couple of ways you can send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. You can also chime in on the Just Wireless listener line. You'll leave your comments today, 877-971-3971, and always appreciate all of your great comments. I'll try to bring Olivia by, too. I think, we have these two tickets that we want to give away to the Friends of the NRA dinner that's happening this Saturday. We already got all the names in from yesterday's show, so we just got to draw that name. So stick around for that if you've put your name down for that one. But let's welcome back to the program. Well, I guess now the I don't want to jinx you here, Jim, but the Jim Layman's with us running for the GOP nomination for U.S. Senate here in Arizona. I talked about the polling data that came out earlier this week showing that you've been working hard, I guess, would be the summation of this. And people are taking to you, Jim, taking that lead position now.
Well, Jeff, just a beautiful day here in Arizona in our pre-100-degree days. I'm loving it. We've been out on the campaign trail, Jeff, a little over 1,200 miles a week. We're going to hit our first anniversary of the campaign next week. And it has been amazing, the receptions that we've got, seeing the crowds grow, the topics that are near and dear to the Arizona public, the people that really want to see this state and this country taken back from the far left. You know, they want someone who's going to stand up for them. They want a job creator, someone who's been a military veteran, someone who's gotten things done in building billion-dollar companies. So, yes, our message is resonating very well. I think you're aware, Jeff, of course, our strong endorsements. You know, National Border Patrol Council, Brandon Judd is on the campaign trail with us. He is very supportive, wanting to make sure that, you know, we take on and beat Mark Kelly. Arizona Police Association, the Arizona as cops, including the sheriffs, as just and even most recently, Jeff, a National Association of Police Officers. So, really, a lot of great support. We're loving being out there with the people. We're just could not be any more excited about the poll numbers and how they just continue to climb up.
Let me ask you this, Jim. This came up last hour with a guest of mine. We were talking about Washington, D.C. Well, we were talking about the economy, which you and I will get to here in just a second. But we were talking about Washington, D.C. and what a mess it is and what a mess these politicians, and quite frankly, we as the general public have allowed the mess to get into. I mean, people like me and you have been fighting this for years. We're talking debt, you know, over $30.5 trillion. So now the interest rates go up and number four expenditure on the federal budget is now interest on the national debt, and it's going up tens of billions of dollars just in interest payments as rates continue to go up to supposedly fight inflation, which they're not doing a very good job on. The border's a mess. You got this entrenched power in D.C. So here's my question for you, and really for any candidate, any person that wants to go to D.C., especially you haven't been in office before. I don't want to be pessimistic here, but I don't see how you fix this in D.C. anymore, and you would be one of 100. Jim, tell me how we fix this when the collective will of the D.C. swamp just doesn't seem to be behind you.
Start, Jeff, by sending someone who is not more of the same, right? Someone who has never been in politics, someone who is a job creator, someone who understands what it's like to balance a budget, to meet payroll, sign the front of thousands of paychecks and have to deal, you know, with the crap that comes out of D.C. None of the other candidates in this race have ever created a single job. You know, Blake, 34 years old, works for Peter Thiel, has, you know, for a short few years, he's been out of college. And look at Mark, Attorney General, just never been on the paycheck side of the equation to actually build companies, to be fearless in the face of what it takes to do the right things by your customers. In this case, that would be the voters, and to go get stuff done. You got to make sure that when you sign contracts to build billion-dollar power plants, that you've got the men, material, and the stamina to go make it happen. So, Jeff, I fully intend to see this through in the U.S. Senate. You know, I'm also the only candidate who is not taking lobbyist dollars or PAC dollars. You know, the other two are loading up on them. I noticed where Blake's filing, only 12% of his dollars come from Arizona, 96% of mine do, and of course we've raised seven times the capital that he has. You know, this big tech money coming out of California is not what you need to take to D.C. You know, it's going to be beholden to them and the big tech billionaires, Facebook board members and stuff that control Blake. It's just not the same day that it has been in our beautiful 245-year history. We're on the cusp of losing this country. And I encourage everyone, as we've seen on the campaign trail, getting great resumes, you know, send someone who's gotten things done. I intend to get that budget balanced. But number one, Jeff, I intend to get that southern border closed. The National Border Patrol Council have, as I said earlier, just four square behind me. Jeff, my commitment to the voters is to shut down to the absolutely responsible I can the business of the U.S. Senate until we get that southern border, get this invasion stopped.
What do you do? I will vote. How do you do it? I mean, when Trump was there, there was the wall. I think what you and I have spoken in the past, Jim, and folks are talking with Jim Lehman, who's running for U.S. Senate. How do you do it? Especially you may have control when you get there as far as the Republicans in the Senate. I think you will. I think you also have control of the House, but you're not going to have the presidency. So what do you do as a senator?
Number one on the southern border is the law of the land is remain in Mexico policy. And we had this border down to 125,000 crossings in 2020 using Remain in Mexico policy under Matt Whitaker, particularly as the attorney general. And Matt Whitaker, by the way, has endorsed our campaign. Today, it's 48,000 a week. And that's just an invasion of geographic, I mean, just phenomenal proportions. So to codify the law of the land and say, listen, there's not a bill coming through across my desk that I'm going to vote for until we get that southern border closed. Any and everything that I can do to jam it up, stop appropriations, stop anything from going through until we secure it. And with the National Border Patrol Council behind me, and I intend to be that guy on the U.S. Senate floor, a lot like we have Ron DeSantis in Florida, the same guys, hey, this is principle. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to stand firm. I believe the people of Arizona are going to come in behind me and make sure that, you know, I'm going to be a very big force to be reckoned with. I'm going to find Kyrsten Sinema day one and say, Kyrsten, you know, you have given some indication that you have some ability to vote the right way. This is one that has to occur, or certainly she's going to be looking on the wrong side of the same equation that I'm going to give to Mark Kelly.
Well, Jim, they all seem to be coming, well, not all of them, but more and more. I know Tom O'Halloran, who's running for CD2 re-election to Democrats, even Mark Kelly, which I've invited him to come on the show. He's never come on. I've never seen him anywhere, especially northern Arizona. And I always pick on it. Okay, I get it. You're a regular guy driving your motorcycle with your cool guy, you know, t-shirt. Okay, that's fine. It's, you know, we kind of pick on that a little bit. But he tries to perceive himself as a regular guy. But I've never seen this regular guy. But it seems like more and more they're coming around to Title 42 should stay in place. But to me, that just sounds like election year politics because they didn't seem to be in favor of they haven't put up any, no pun intended, walls to the border issues until now, until the American people are finally getting frustrated.
Totally agree. And we'd probably find him more often in Beijing or Shanghai than we would, you know, here in Phoenix or Kingman. So Mark Kelly is an abomination of what he described. He lied to us, said he's a moderate. He's voted 100% with Biden and Schumer, the whole crowd. He's certainly beholding to George Soros, you know, helped strongly to fund his campaign. And the other part of this is, yeah, Title 42 is an awful thing to release more, but already, Jeff, 48,000 a week is just an invasion. That's 2.4 million a year, and it must be stopped on day one. I've heard some of my young big tech competitors say, you know, we need more drones. Well, he hasn't talked to the Border Patrol. I'm endorsed by them. I've been there a dozen times, make sure in hands on. I see Brandon at least once a week on the campaign trail with us. They want Remain in Mexico policy, not more Peter Thiel drones, you know, that he sell through his government contract.
I think, and Tom Holman, who's former ICE director and who's been on the program, I think you're doing an event with him coming up. Maybe we'll try to get him back on as well. Let's switch, because the big issue, switch gears here, and we're talking with Jim Lehman, who's running for U.S. Senate. Supreme Court, the leak that happened earlier this week on Roe v. Wade, it appears that they're going to get rid of this. And what they're going to do is revert it back to the states. And let me get your take on this. This is where it should be anyway. anyway, because a state like Arizona is going to say abortion is, by and large, it's already in the books, is illegal. State like Texas, we can go through a good 13 and with full-on restrictions, I think 26 or 27 that'll have out some form of restrictions on abortion. But then if you're in crazy California, still go get your abortion. It becomes a state's rights issue. Your thoughts?
It's first and foremost, you know, let's celebrate this huge win to put a huge damper on this totally left-wing Marxist policy of killing babies at any time, including on the operating, you know, table. That's mm-hmm. just barbaric.
Yeah, the moral side, the moral side of this, Jim. Yeah, is a huge. Side. It is a huge win. Go ahead.
Exactly. And Arizona, 15-week law that was just recodified here in our legislature, we're looking at strongly in Arizona, positive toward the side of adoption, you know, compassion, where we've got three times more of those type facilities than Planned Parenthood, which is a great thing in Arizona to hopefully get Planned Parenthood totally out of the equation. But adoption and compassion and the 15-week well, what much, much better, you know, than what's happened under all these years of Roe v. Wade. I just think as a country, maybe we've seen too far left. And we've experienced this Obama, Biden, Mark Kelly agenda. And we see what it's doing to our country. Every aspect of it is going the wrong way. Getting our moral compass back in order and being able to also start getting this country back to America first, including getting rid of Roe v.
Do you think that this becomes, you know, the talking heads on the dying media? This is now the issue that energizes the left. And the reason why I mentioned, well, this is a states' rights issue now is because someone in Phoenix, they're going to drive to California if it becomes a states' right, if it's reverted back to the states. So in a way, that they're out there protesting and complaining about the decision from SCOTUS, but the ability doesn't go away. I don't understand what ground they have to stand on to make this their cornerstone issue going into the 2022 election.
Yeah, totally agree. They can stand on it just like they do open borders, right? Because both are going to go are going down in flames. The polls show it. When you say 15-week law or Roe v., I'm not just a majority, a very large majority of Americans, of all Americans.
I agree.
Support that restrictions should be in place. It should not be a form of birth control up until the time the baby is literally on the operating table. So, no, they're pursuing all the wrong policies, including, you know, from the ones we just discussed, the economy, energy, et cetera. They're on the wrong side of the equation. And the good news, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about the economy because I want to make sure we get this in. You're a businessman, Jim, and I'm in business. And it's, you know, the government keeps getting involved in these things and messing it up. They're trying to figure out what caused inflation. They caused the inflation. They're the ones that cause this inflation with $11 trillion of pumping money, telling people to stay home. I just read a report that the productivity levels in the United States is the lowest it's been since 1947. I suspect because everyone's on their phone all the time, distracted and can't even do their job anymore. How do we fix this when the very people that caused it are the ones that are jumping up the Fed saying, we're going to fix this? And by the way, we won't cause a recession while we're doing it.
Three things on my policy side, Jeff. We have on a website we talk about on the campaign trail under America First. Three things. Number one is bring manufacturing back to America. The critical resources that we need. Stop the supply chain issues that we have today. And second, energy. Make sure that we get back not just to energy independence, but go to energy dominance so that we can actually start balancing this insane trade deficit that we have. And third is mining. You know, we have seen how we've sold out our mining operations ceded that ground to China with overzealous federal permitting from EPA. We all want clean air and water. That's not in question. It's a matter of using the resources that we have. That's part A relative to America First. The other one, Jeff, next in line is balancing this budget. You know, we spend $4 trillion. We have a mega insane spending problem. We don't have a revenue problem. We don't have a tax problem. We have that. And I intend to be very hard on spending to get it down to $4 trillion. as soon as possible.
You'd have to bring it down from 6, though, Jim. And this country is addicted to the government, federal largesse. It's like 30% of the GDP is to the feds at this point. It's something ridiculous like that. How do you cut that when the society's so addicted? And I'm with you. I want it cut. I want to go back to the federal government being 3% of GDP. But I'm a rounding error in this society.
Really know it. I've been fortunate to be working closely with a heritage group. They know these numbers inside and a great conservative group about that. Top of the order, Department of Health and Human Services needs a 25% haircut, eliminating the abuse, purging illegals from the rolls, get out the drugs. Just common sense stuff that you would do inside of a business, because we really need HNS for the people who truly deserve it. And by the way, Jeff, I am going to be strong on getting rid of all of these various hammock programs for people who are able to work and are living off of the taxpayer. The things I intend to be very strong to preserve, number one is security and defense of our country, police, border, ICE. Number two, if you physically and mentally can't work, not a doctor's excuse, then I'm going to protect that as a Christian nation. We need to do that. And third, if you paid into Social Security and Medicare, that was a contract that you entered. We could have kept that money, but no, the government said, send it to us. It's going to be there. After that, Jeff, things like closing Department of Education for $154 billion. And just look down the list of, as you said, interest. Stop borrowing the money and it'll start coming down.
Yeah.
And also, Communist Chinese Party owes us. We don't owe them, right? Because of what they call their CCP virus. Many more, Jeff, ago, I've got every department listed in the areas that I intend to go hardcore to bring down.
Okay, good.
Just like you do at this.
Yeah, just like we so many Americans are having to do right now, as they're filling up their car at $5 a gallon, or I got folks calling in on diesel at $5.50, which affects shipping and inflation and everything. Jim, if you get in there, I'd like to submit you my list of cuts that I propose as well. So maybe I'll have the listeners all chime in, because I think we could hack away and get this thing back to a manageable level. And I think you'll do that. I hope you'll do that. But I'm not convinced that you have enough there. And maybe I'm having a pessimistic day. But it's going to take some real fighters in there and some real honesty with America at this point to say, here's where we're actually at. And it ain't pretty. And I don't know if people are not distracted enough and aware of it yet. But at some point, the truth will come out, and the reality of the truth will come out.
For sure, Jeff, in this election, Arizona has a choice of one guy who's a business guy, a veteran. That's me, Jim Layman, and also a fighter. Played outside linebacker in college, paratrooper in the military, and been building $1 billion coal and gas plants on time, on budget, 40,000 craft labor, those type of things across the country in the company that ran, as well as building my own company here in Arizona with a great team.
Yeah.
Then in 8 years, we grew it off of no debt. We didn't borrow any money. If you want somebody who understands how business work, understands where to cut the budget, but have compassion for those who truly need it, and get everybody else's butt back out there and working and get off the taxpayer's dime, then I'm your guy. And if you also want to get that southern border closed, who has the endorsement, National Border Patrol Council, Arizona Police and Sheriffs, I'm your guy.
All right, Jim.
Guys, hey, we'll bring it.
I appreciate it. Maybe we'll talk after your town hall you have with Tom Homan next Sunday, next Friday in Sun City, because Tom really knows his stuff when it comes to the border. So appreciate it. We'll talk with you soon.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. And love Arizona. Let's keep bringing it, get it back bright red.
Absolutely. Let's do that and get this country back too. All right. Folks, we'd love your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and send those in. We'd love to hear from you. And we've got our giveaway coming up here as well. So stick around for that. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a few minutes. You want to work with the best in any field that you're working with. But if you're looking at selling your home or if you're looking at buying a home, you do want to work with the best. And, you know, Kelly Broaddus, she's one of the best. She's in the top 2% of realtors in the entire nation. And she'll tell you what it takes to get that home sold. She'll help you out in trying to buy a new home. Hey, if you're trying to buy a home in most markets have gotten really expensive, Flagstaff, Sedona, she'll help you out in northern Arizona. Kelly Broaddus will even give you a free valuation on your home. Just go to her website, northernarizonafinehomes.com. Like I said, if you're trying to get into this crazy market or if you're trying to get out and you want to, she was on the show a while back and was talking about how, I think it was a family member, you know, sold out of Flagstaff and moved somewhere in the Midwest and did pretty dang well, bought a place cash out there. So Kelly can help you out. Give her a call, 928-606-6749. 928-606-6749. That's Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors at 928-606-6749. And like with all of our sponsors, please let her know that I sent you. Okay, before I get to a couple news items, a few of your comments. We did have these last minute tickets yesterday on the program for the Flagstaff Friends of the NRA dinner that's happening this Saturday at 4:30 p.m. At the Elks Lodge. And we have two tickets here for one winner, $200 value, which is pretty dang cool. And I got a bunch of entries here. I do not have Olivia here today. She'll be back with us again. She's out doing some stuff in this drama club. You could picture her doing drama, right? So she's doing that. She will be back on the program Monday. Generally, she's with us Monday through Wednesday and helps out with all these comments and her comments as well. All right, drawing a name of all the folks that entered in. Printed these all out. Got a big bucket here or something. What is this thing? There we go. Okay. Mix it around. We have, let's see, what is that? Dave S. Dave S. You got two tickets to the Friends of the Flagstaff NRA dinner this Saturday. We'll drop you an email here in case you're not listening in a few minutes. We want to just confirm that you can make it. We don't want those seats to be empty, especially with $200 tickets. So what did Dave say? It may just be me, but I have not seen a single picture of Biden in the Oval Office. Yeah, I think Olivia read that one yesterday. Yep. So thank you for all those entries. Dave S., you won the two tickets. And tomorrow we'll have the winner of the Sportsman's gift card, $40 at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. So we have a bunch of entries in on that one, so we'll get you that. We'll draw that tomorrow on the program, so remember that. Okay, there is some money being spent on some of the infrastructure in Arizona. I guess this is good. It doesn't impact us in a huge way up here because it's down south. So they're going to expand I-10 between Chandler and Casa Grande. I don't know if you've driven that. Have you driven down to Tucson on I-10 in the past couple years? I mean, the past 10 years. They expanded a lot of it to three lanes on each side. But there's this reduction that happens down between Casa Grande and Chandler, right, as you leave the metropolis there and kind of those farmlands out there a little bit and then turns into desert. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy driving that route now. Anyway, $400 million bill was signed. A bill was passed by the Arizona legislature, signed by the governor. So you're going to get $400 million to expand that to three lanes on each side, six lanes total. They're still trying to get that I-11 corridor, which cuts off kind of north of Tucson and then heads through Wickenburg. And the money's sitting there. It's a huge federal project. Eventually, that connects up with Las Vegas. So there is some infrastructure projects going on. We'll never really see much up here in northern Arizona. I shouldn't say never. I mean, we still have those huge problems on I-17, especially where the traffic gets blocked off. I know we were promised years ago those kind of switchover lanes in case there's an accident so you can get onto the other side. I don't see them putting the money into it up here. Hopefully someday, and we'll see if we get some of that money for infrastructure. Fire restrictions start today. Don't forget about this. I've been advising everybody not to start a fire for weeks, really. And I have the restrictions up on talkwithjeff.com. Here they are. It's a few posts down now. But basically, anywhere out there in the forest, there's no campfire. So this was effective as of, I think it was 8 a.m. today, May 5th, if you're listening back to the podcast. No fires, No campfires, no charcoal fires, no coal. It does a coal fire, but if you're going to do a coal fire, don't do it. No wood stove, so don't haul your wood stove out into the forest and start a fire. Except within developed recreation sites, no smoking, except within an enclosed vehicle, building, or developed recreation site. You can use, like, those, okay, the liquid petroleum gas fuels if it has an on-off switch. So, and you got to make sure all areas are clear of any flammable materials within 3 feet if you do that. So that's for the Coconino National Forest, the Prescott National Forest, Kaibab. I mean, it's basically everywhere. If they don't have a restriction, just don't do it anyway. Just don't start a fire. It's just not worth it. It's still so dry and so windy. City of Flagstaff also beginning today, and Mayor Paul Deasy was on the program yesterday. If you missed that, podcast up at talkwithjeff.com. And thank you to all new podcast subscribers. Please keep subscribing. I appreciate the increased numbers. And if you haven't done so already, look up the Jeff Horvitz Show on any of your favorite podcast providers, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, whatever you're using. But the City of Flagstaff, as Mayor Deasy discussed yesterday, also went into stage one fire restrictions, as did Prescott area cities, including Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, Dewey, Humboldt, also implementing stage one fire restrictions, which means that you can't do fireworks, no pile burning, all that stuff out there. I'm reading here that you can still do cooking and warming fires, but I wouldn't do that. I just wouldn't do anything right now. It's just not worth it. Wait for the monsoons to kick in and for some more moisture to be present before you go do that. All right. Love your comments. Send me an email. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Our last great sponsor of the day. And you saw what the market did today, and Glenn and I were talking about this, Glenn Least, in the first hour. What was it, 1,000-point decline in the Dow? We never did get the final numbers here. Let me look that up for you real quick. Dow Jones went down, 1,063 points, 3%. The NASDAQ, the tech stocks, got slaughtered, 5% down today, nearly 650 points down on the NASDAQ. Interest rates are rising. The bonds are going up. Mortgage rates are going up. Everything is cranking up. Inflation's cranking up. Now may be a good time to look into precious metals. That's what I've done for many years. Look, I do not give financial advice, so this is just what I do for myself. For decades, I like to own a little bit of gold and silver and precious metals. And you should call my friends like I have done at Desert Gold Exchange. And you can talk to them. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. You can get a free investor's kit. Also, you can talk to them how you can get physical gold and silver, you know, in your hands, not in some fund somewhere, or some vault somewhere, you know, where you can't get to. No, but actual physical gold and silver delivered in as little as 72 hours. They'll get that up to you. And they'll also talk to you about IRAs. You can actually do gold and silver in IRAs as well. Give Desert Gold Exchange a call. Here's their number, 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. And like I said, if you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, you can get that free investor's kit. Give Desert Gold Exchange a call, 888-852-4343. All right, that is it for today. Tomorrow's our big weekly roundup covering the biggest stories, interviews of the week. So I hope you tune in for that. And send me a comment anytime. I'd love to hear from you. We'll try to get those on as soon as possible. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And remember, fire restrictions out there, just don't do it. Don't start any fires. Stay safe out there. Have a great time. Be back here tomorrow. See you soon.